Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide, plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'd rather have no preseason games than practice every day. Yeah, I hate preseason games. We should just have practice for a month straight.
Why is that?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, again, at the end of the day, it's a preseason game. To me, you come in here and practice and you work. You know, so the idea is to try to make the preseason game as close to practice as you can, because you're always going through things. You know, who's on a minutes restriction, who may be sitting out, trying to save yourselves for the regular season. You know, all those things, which are important. But yeah, we just have like 30 practices before the game. No, but I don't want to break it to you, but you're not playing against each other, you're playing against the coaches.
You're listening to Christian Arcan on WEEI.
As we move into the 9 o'clock hour, here's the Christian Arcan Show, WEEI, live in our Brighton studios, powered by Verizon. We are Boston Sports Original, and along with Boston, we are coming to you live. Up in Portland, in Saco, Maine, Upper Valley, Keene, Brattleboro, Springfield, Worcester, Providence, Cape Cod, and the Islands. And if you're not in any of those places, don't forget you can stream WEEI anytime on the Odyssey app, as well as the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps. And if you missed any part of the show, you can listen to the Christian Arcan Show podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever it is that you get your podcasts. And hopefully you're not going to be missing this, because if you didn't know, every year, the Celtics media has a media game. And most, I feel like, I don't think they have one in football, but like, there's always a baseball media game, like the Red Sox writers take on the Yankee writers. That's always a good time. I don't know if there's a media hockey game. I think there is. But there's always...
I feel like there would be.
I think there's always been a basketball game.
Always.
And usually what it is the scribes and various TV personnel, the people who cover the team, you know, like full-time, get out on the court, and they play against each other. It's the media playing with itself, if you will, which is very appropriate. But this year, Joe Mazzulla had a different plan. And I don't know that the Celtics have ever gotten involved in this game before. I don't think that they have. But this year, the media showed up. And do we have the clip of Mazzulla? Do we have this, Joe? If we could play Joe letting everybody know what time it is. If you thought you were going to come in here, play a little grab-ass media, no.
No, but I don't want to break it to you, but you're not playing against each other. You're playing against the coaches.
Okay. So, just for reference, the Celtics coaches, Joe Mazzulla was a Division I basketball player. You also have Sam Cassell, Phil Pressey, who's the head coach of the Maine Celtics, but still counts, and several other, Tony Dobbins, Matt Reynolds, guys who are all in pretty good shape. God, Sham God, I don't know if Sham God was out there. Oh, God, actually, you know what? I'm going to stop talking about it. We're going to go to our guest right now, Justin Turpin, who covers the Celtics for us here at WEEI, and who had this whole thing sprung on him and everybody else in the media today. Terp, how you doing?
I am embarrassed. I have never lost anything as bad as we got run out the gym today. That was really an abomination. That was awful.
Okay. In fairness, and I saw the final. Can you give me the final score?
You saw it. It was 57-4. 57-4.
57-4. So that
in a 12-minute half. We lost by 53 in a 12-minute half.
Who scored the 4 points? Corrales?
No, it was Bobby Kravitsky and Kari Thompson.
Kari Thompson had the other. Okay, that's something. When did you guys know that you weren't going to be playing each other? When did Mazzulla tell you all that?
As soon as he ended his press scrum. So the last question was about the game and whether or not he was going to stick around. And he goes, I don't know how to break it to you, but you're actually going to be playing the coaches. And at first, we didn't really know if it was serious or not. And they were talking about it upstairs because there was a little bit of downtime after the press conferences. They were talking about it upstairs, and we weren't really sure what was going on. And we go down to warm up, and Joe Mazzulla's out there shooting around. Cham God's out there shooting around.
Was there.
And Joe's like, yeah. We're doing this. Oh man, Cham God was the best player on the court today.
Did he do the Cham God? Did he do the move?
He didn't need to. I think collectively they dribbled the ball 4 times. Like it was just pass. And there was just no option. Like we had no answer. The thing that from the start, it was just the ball pressure was insane. I think we collectively shot maybe 7 or 8 actually field goal attempts. We didn't get the ball on into the half court. They were pressuring us the whole time, and we just couldn't get anything going. And
they would
just pull up from three, and all of them are going in. Like Cham God, the most disrespectful part of it, the last bucket of the game that puts him up by 53 to win, he pulls up from the logo and just drills it. I mean, it was incredible.
Yeah, that was over Noah Dalzell. How do you say your name, Noah Dalzell?
Dalzell, yeah.
Dalzell, yeah. She was, I mean, you know, you don't think you have to play defense from that far out. I don't blame her for giving a little space, but yeah, that was it. That was like a buzzer beater, or were you playing best of 57?
No, that was the buzzer beater. They only needed 12 minutes. It was supposed to be originally 2 12-minute halves, and we conceded the second half and just went to a media versus media game.
Okay, so you did get to play media versus media, because that's what I was thinking. I was like, that'd be a funny thing if Mazzulla and the coaches like played against you guys for like a 5-minute quarter and just, you know, played around. 12, man, that's a long time. A 12-minute half is a long time to be out there going up and down the court with Phil Pressey and Joe Mazzulla and these guys who are all in pretty good shape, I would imagine.
Yeah, much better shape than any of us are in. I can tell you that for sure. And that 94 feet, man, that is a long run.
Yeah.
You don't really realize it when you're playing on different courts and you're playing like at local high schools, whatever it may be. You don't realize how long an NBA court is. Like that 94 feet, not that we were going up and down a whole lot, at least first the coaches, because we weren't getting into the half court. But it's a big run. It's a long run.
Did they seem to take – because no offense, Terp, to you or to anybody else that, you're in this group with, but I don't find – out of all the beats, I don't find the Celtics beat to be particularly punishing on guys like Mazzulla. You know, Washburn goes after him once in a while. Was Washburn there, by the way?
No.
Smart. Washburn stayed home. I don't blame him.
He was not there. No.
That is a savvy veteran move on Washburn's part. I'm proud of him for that.
Would have been a hard screen or something.
Right. aside from him, that right? Like, wouldn't you say, like, I don't mean this really in a bad way, but like, I just feel like with the Celtics, because they've been so good mostly, is that they don't get the same kind of real hardcore critical sort of discussion, and definitely not like the third degree in press conferences and things like that. So I just wonder why they were so eager to go out there and teach you guys a lesson. I just find that strange.
I mean, you're 100% right. And I think part of that is like, look at, since Joe Mazzulla's been here, they've won what, 73-74% of their games.
Right.
Like, yeah, the coverage has been significantly skewed in a way because of how good the team has been. And yeah, I mean, I don't know if he's just already tired of hearing about the rebounding questions through the first 3 games of the preseason, or he was actually tired of hearing about the 3-point attempts, whatever it is. But I mean, he did not want to let us score. That was one of the biggest things that I took away from this, is Mazzulla's intensity. He was screaming at the coaches as soon as we ended up inbounding the ball. Before we even inbounded the ball, he's like, up, up, up. Like, he was not letting them take any possessions off. Even Emile Jefferson was like, I didn't want to do that to you guys. Like, my favorite 2 buckets were when you guys scored. Like, I did not want to do that to you. Like, Joe was not messing around. He did not want to let us score at all. And in fairness, like, we kind of got on Bobby Kravitzky's bucket, and Brady scored. No one else really did. We kind of got lucky. He slipped behind the cracks, and we were able to find some passes. But Kari actually earned his. He went in the post and went over. I think it was Emil Jefferson. Kari's a big dude. He's the tallest guy on the beat.
Okay.
And, thankfully for him scoring, because they were trying to pitch a shutout. So shout out to those guys, because they really saved our bacon a little bit.
How'd you do, Terp?
Oh, man, not great. You know that Tony Snell meme when it's like he played 28
0.
Minutes?
0.0
like
everything.
It's all zero? Yeah, that was me. I was the Tony Snell meme tonight. And I couldn't, you know what? My game, I'm with all the ball pressure, like, I'm not a ball handler. Like, I'm not a dribbler. I'm more of a 3-and-D. Let me just hang out right by the perimeter. I'll space the floor. Dribbling, that's not my thing. Like, I don't want to have to take up the ball. But when they're pressuring like that, it's a collective effort. Everyone's in the backcourt trying to just, like, almost just pass it up, like, you know, without dribbling, just try to pass it up the floor. So that was not my forte. It didn't really play into my game. And then the media game, I mean, I hit a late free throw, which was great, but I split the 1-and-1, so you can't have that. I got to make both of those. I got a couple of rebounds, but the three-point shot was not where I wanted to be. And that's another thing. Like, the NBA threes are far. Like, you forget about that as well. I was hitting them before the game, but none of that really matters. And, you know, when we actually see the tape, it's like, you know, front rim and all of them. It's pretty embarrassing.
So when it was just media on media, who was the star of that?
Oh, Kari.
Kari Thompson. Okay.
I mean, yeah, he is.
And not the Kyrie Thompson who used to work here at WEEI and cover the Patriots, another Kyrie Thompson.
No, this one equals like the size of three of the other of the Kyrie Thompson that used to work.
Our Kyrie Thompson was a little guy. Yeah, that's true. He's a little guy. Yeah, but
No. This would be three times Kyrie Thompson. Like he is great down low. And he was great. It came down to the wire. We ended up getting the win. It was the white team versus the green team. You know, I was on the white team, so I'll be happy going home with the win.
Very good. Now, do you think that the purpose of this was for Missoula and the coaches to get you guys to give them a break, like during the season? Like, hey, you know, now that you see how hard it is to go out there and play or whatever the point they were trying to make, do you think that point got through to you and your brethren on the beat there?
I absolutely would not be shocked if Joe Missoula used this as some sort of like retort to a question that he doesn't like, or if like someone's hard on like the team shooting 28%, he's like, Okay, what did you shoot when we played? Like, and you know what, like that's something I don't know, I could totally see him doing that, but I don't know, I really don't know why he wanted to get into, you know, we know how Joe Missoula is, like you see it through the press conferences and all that, just how competitive he is.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it is just a competitive spirit, and you know, to his credit, he does a really good job of connecting with the media in ways that, you know, you might not see in the press conferences, whether that's staying, you know, just having a little chit chat after practice, whatever it may be. So he does a great job with that. So maybe it was just even furthering that relationship. So I don't know, but it was a lot of fun. And I like I said, I would not be surprised if he uses this against somebody in the near future.
Yeah. You have a retort right back though, when they have a bad game. Hey, not so easy when you're not going against Justin Turpin there, is it?
Yeah, exactly.
You know
exactly
what I mean?
Yeah, I have a traffic code out there. Pressy's just running right by me.
How is Pressy? Pressy's not an old guy, right? Like, he was probably out there doing stuff.
No, he was great. And these guys, it's like the competition, because the assistant coaches are the ones that scrimmage the players in practice for a lot of the time, especially the player development guys. It's like, if they're at, like, they're that good and like playing against the NBA talent, the real Celtics. Like, just imagine if we were to play the actual Celtics, how bad that would have gone. Like, it's just the talent in the NBA is just such a fascinating thing to me when you're seeing these guys like Phil Pressy, who obviously did play in the league, and a lot of these guys played high D1.
Right.
Or in God Sam God Jr.'s case, was one of the leading scorers at a Division II school. It's just how talented they are, and them getting these guys ready for each game, it does kind of open a new appreciation towards those guys and the work that they do.
You know what sucks is that Scal and Eddie House weren't there, because that would have really helped you. Scal is a machine. Like, you ever see him against that guy in New York City, that big guy that's always beating people up?
Oh, that was hacking him?
They
just kept hacking him? Like, it was literally, that guy should have been charged with assault. He
and Scal Sill just completely dominated him. You get Scal in the post. I mean, I don't think Missoula or Shamgott or any of those guys are dealing with Scal in the low post, if that was. But where was he? Where was Scal?
I guess Caleb Burton reached out to him, and he did not show up. We were trying to recruit hard. I don't think Eddie House is in the area, so
we were kind of
in trouble with that one. But either way, he would have been challenged down low, because they had DJ McClay down there, Emil Jefferson, who was one of the best players on Duke a couple of years ago.
Yeah, like, right.
They were still had size below, and Emil threw down a nasty dunk from an alley-oop from God Sham God Jr., which was just humiliating. The worst one was when Phil Pressey hit a three. They go up by, like, I think it was, at that point it was like 49, and our coach called a timeout. And Joe's just clapping. He looks over me and goes, "Yeah!" I'm like, "Wow, that's bad." And I look up, the score's like without my 53. I'm like, "Man, I've just never lost something this bad. This is embarrassing."
There's an episode of South Park where Stan starts coaching like a peewee hockey team. And they go and they have to play like the Red Wings, like that's, and they score like 100 goals. That's sort of what I'm picturing here. And I saw that clip. I saw the clip of Shamgar with the three. I hope that there's more footage of this because I do think that that would make for some great content. But either way, Terp, you were on the front lines. You were out there sacrificing your body, I'm sure, against some tough competition. And we salute you for that, even though the game didn't go the way you wanted.
Much appreciated. Now time for a beer and some relaxation. I'm sore after that bit.
Yeah, ice those knees, and we'll see you around the office, all right?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Justin Turpin, ladies and gentlemen. The Boston Celtics opening up their season pretty quick here and getting in some run against the athletes of the Boston Celtics media beat.
The coaches. The right. Coaches.
No, I'm saying the coaches got their, yeah.
Against. That's also, like, did Turp have any expectations going into that game? They had to have known, like, yeah, they're going to crush us.
Well, I mean, he went into the gym thinking they were going to play. He was going to play against Bobby Manning and, you know, those guys. Like, he thought that
true,
that was
true.
He didn't expect that Joe Mazzulla and these other Division I college players were going to be out there throwing alley-oops and, you know, putting the ball through their legs and dunking on them.
Tomorrow's preseason finale just became a whole lot more interesting.
Could be, yeah. And this could be an interesting season. I think I'll say this. Funny idea. Missoula's a bit of a hardo, all right? Bit of a hardo. He's a massive hardo. That's pretty funny. I'll give him that. And I'm just saying that because I didn't have to go out there and humiliate myself. But I find that entire situation to be pretty funny. And it sounds like everyone was a good sport about it. And Terp certainly was. Terp's a good sport about everything. So we salute him as well.
I like watching him bleed on the court. I think it's important.
617.
Just wait until Ted wants to do the Alabama drill with you.
Oh, yeah. The Oklahoma
drill. Or Oklahoma, yeah. I mean.
You don't want that. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Quick break. We'll come back, get to some phone calls, get to the Arcan Fire. First, here's Joe Braverman with an update on the NLCS right now, Dodgers and Brewers and everything else going on in the world of sports. Here's Joe.
The coach and the quarterback are heard live here every Patriots Monday. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Patriots are officially in first place in the AFC East following last night's Bills loss to the Atlanta Falcons on Monday Night Football. It is the first time since 2019 that the Pats have had possession of first place in the division. The Pats will be at practice tomorrow to start prep for their Week 7 matchup in Tennessee against the Titans. Some roster news from today. The team is signing tight end Marshall Lang to the practice squad. Fellow tight end G. Scott Jr. and defensive back Tyron Herring have been released from the practice squad. One other note from the NFL, Lions safety Brian Branch has been suspended one game for his post-game altercation in Sunday Night Football with Chiefs receiver Juju Smith-Schuster. Game 2 of the NLCS between the Dodgers and the Brewers is underway. It is 2-1. The Dodgers are on top in the top of the fifth. Milwaukee got a first-inning home run from Jackson Churio, but two runs in the second via a Teoscar Hernandez home run and an Andy Páez double makes it a 2-1 game for the Dodgers as they look to take a 2-0 series lead. Also with a 2-0 series lead, the Mariners in the ALCS over the Blue Jays. Their series will resume in Seattle tomorrow night. The Bruins are off on a three-game road trip on the West Coast that begins on Thursday night in Las Vegas against the Golden Knights. The Celtics wrap up their preseason tomorrow night against the Toronto Raptors from TD Garden. The regular season will start a week from tomorrow against the 76ers. And some Red Sox news. Per Chris Cotillo of Mass Live, the Red Sox granted the Minnesota Twins permission to interview bench coach Ramon Vasquez for their vacant managerial position. And as we broke during the 8 o'clock hour, according to John Heyman in the New York Post, Alex Bregman will opt out of his Red Sox contract and become a free agent. Bregman had 2 years and $80 million left on the deal, though most of it was deferred money. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide, plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
925 here on Sports Radio, WEEI, Boston Sports Original, live in our Brighton studios, powered by Verizon. Nice to have you with us here tonight. We'll get to the Arcan Fire in just a moment, see what Joe Braverman has cooked up for me this week. But first, let's go to the phones, talk to Johnny in Brooklyn. He has a thought on the Celtics. Hi, Johnny.
Christian Arcan, thanks for taking the call, pal.
You got it, buddy. What's up?
That was a great interview.
Thanks.
That was hilarious. That last interview with Turpin there. But I had to say, Missoula is an odd goose, man. Like, I mean, it's funny, but it's a little weird. Like, you're playing against a bunch of not super athletic writers, mm-hmm. and you're over there clapping up a storm trying to shut them out 53. Obviously, he's a guy who hates losing, but there's some weird psychology behind whatever happened there today. I'd love to get you to do a deep dive on that if you're willing. But also, I think it's going to be a strange year for him because the way this team is built, they're going to have some struggles. But I'm interested in what Boucher can do for them, and I think it's going to be a big year statistically for Derek White. But what do you make of what we just heard about there from Missoula's standpoint? What do you think of that? Anyway, thanks, man.
Yeah, you got it. My main takeaway is that it was sort of a funny idea that obviously Missoula can't just have a funny idea. He's got to take it way too far. And I think it's also maybe a little bit of what he considers to be payback for, I don't know if this is necessarily applicable to some of the people who are out there, but, you know, I read Corrales and some other people who were critical of the fact that they went down shooting and that their constant barrage of three-pointers, and when I say that, I mean they took more three-pointers than anyone ever, and they shot themselves right out of that New York series. Don't tell me that Jason Tatum is the reason they lost. He's not. They were losing that game before he went down with that injury. They had shot themselves out of that series. And it's a shame because a team that good and that multifaceted with White, and I know Holiday wasn't really himself, and Porzingis, you know, was sort of in and out, but with White and Tatum and Brown and Pritchard and all these guys, you know, it was a team that I thought had many more creative and compelling ways to score and get their points than just constantly jacking threes. And I'm not naive. I understand. Sprawl ball. I mean, it's the new era in the NBA. Teams are shooting threes at a much, much higher clip. But the Celtics took that clip and, I mean, we all watched it. We assumed that was going to be an easy repeat for the Celtics, didn't we? And instead, things happened. I mean, it's just, you know, they had stretches in the season where
the threes weren't falling, and they, you know, kind of fell behind some of these other teams, behind Cleveland, who were just, you know, great all year until they weren't. But I wonder if that has something to do with it. I wonder if maybe Mazzulla's a little sensitive. He's a little sensitive about all the threes and shooting all the threes. And, you know, you think you know basketball. We'll show you basketball. We know basketball. You don't know anything. And how dare you criticize me and my philosophy of bombing threes all the time, which I think is the reason why they didn't make it to the finals. It's the reason I think they lost to the Knicks. Over-reliance on that style of play. Which, by the way, they played well enough to be a top team in the East, top team in the league, and get that far into the postseason, but that was a disappointing end of the season. And Tatum getting hurt was the cherry on top of the sundae, but even if Tatum had played that whole series, even if he had played that whole game, they're still losing. They're not winning that series. The Knicks had them beat. And that was a Knicks team that the Celtics dominated throughout the year.
I am the worst coach ever.
What was that? What did he say?
I am the worst coach ever.
I still can't understand what he's saying.
It was that time where he was still on mic on a Zoom interview and said, I'm the worst coach ever.
Oh, yeah, right. He's not the worst coach ever. I think he's a good coach. But I think he's extremely stubborn about this philosophy that he has. And I wonder if it's going to be the same thing this year, just bombs away the whole time. I remember, you know, the O'Brien days, Jim O'Brien, when he had Walter McCarty and Tony Delk and Rodney Rogers and, you know, all those guys along with Pierce and Antoine, and they were bombing threes all the time too. And I remember people going, well, this team's shooting way too many threes. And that was, you know, 20 years ago, whatever it was. And it was a drop in the bucket compared to what they're doing now. It's a new game. It's different. I understand. Different skill sets are being emphasized. Different offenses are being run. Sets are being run. You have an open three, you got to take it. But I thought that was a very restrictive way of coaching a team that had a lot of talented scorers on it and who all just became kind of one-dimensional. I thought that was a dumb way to exploit that and exploit some of the matchups that they had with other teams just by bombing threes. It's not, you know, didn't seem like it was very effective when the threes weren't falling, and that's the way it ended up going. All right, it's 9:30. Let's get to the Arcan Fire.
It's time for Arcan Fire on the Christian Arcan Show. This is WEEI.
I want to start this off here by creating a little tradition here during football season on the Arcan Fire. What I would like to do, Arcan, is give you the floor for any other game that you saw or any team in the NFL post week 6 in this case, and give whatever thoughts you have about it. So is there a team or a game that you saw outside of the Patriots from week 6 in the NFL that you have some strong opinions about?
Yes. First of all, real quick, since we're talking about, and I think we're going to get to some gambling aspects here in a moment, so we'll get to that in just a sec. The teams that I feel the strongest about, that I have the strongest takes on, are the Bills, who I think kind of suck. I think the Bills kind of suck. Josh Allen looks mortal. And the rest of that team, that coaching staff, that defense, basically outside of the offensive line, and not even the other, maybe like one half of the offensive line, James Cook and Josh Allen most of the time, although the last 2 weeks he has not been very good. I find that team to be lacking in a lot of different departments. And since that's the Patriots' main competition, not just in the AFC East, but potentially in the whole conference, unless you really believe in the Colts and the Jaguars and, you know, I guess the Chargers and the Broncos. We'll see the Chiefs probably resurge at some point, too. But right now, I mean, it's just sort of those two, three teams, maybe four if you want to throw in Denver or the Chargers. But I think that the Buffalo Bills right now are right there, getting very close to not toppling out completely, but being exposed as a fraudulent team. They don't have the excuse that the Ravens have. They don't have the excuse that the Bengals have. They don't have an excuse that the Titans have. Rookie quarterback and, you know, coach just got fired and sort of all these things. And obviously the Buffalo Bills aren't in the same ballpark as some of those teams. But they don't really have any excuses. They should be more than what they are. And I think the fact that they're not is great news for your New England Patriots. Another team I feel strongly about is the San Francisco 49ers. I think the 49ers this year have a chance to be something special. I think that Brock Purdy and Mac Jones are kind of negligible at this point in terms of ability to run that offense. I don't think that, you know, Purdy is necessarily any great shakes or any better really than Mac Jones skill set wise, any of that. I think that they're probably right, you know, right on the same level. And with that defense and McCaffrey and everything, I know they just lost that game. But I think that they are a team that you have to pay close attention to in the NFC. They're a team that if Mac Jones can be a semi-competent quarterback, should be a playoff team. And just imagine Mac Jones going to the Niners as a backup and then taking them to the postseason. What a redemption story that would be. And how much of a giant kick to the groin that would be as everyone is taking their turn kicking Bill Belichick right now. But just think about that. Think about how much Bill hated Mac Jones and wanted him out of there and gave him just no chance to succeed whatsoever once McDaniels was gone. And now Mac Jones goes out to San Francisco and all of a sudden he's leading the real team to the playoffs in the NFC West. I think that's a very compelling story. Certainly has a nice local angle, and those are two teams that I am keeping my extra eagle eye on here as the season goes on.
Poor Bill Belichick. And now with that point, let's get to the Steam Chaser of the Week.
All right.
Which, of course, you know, you can explain it, but early look at the lines for Week 7. What is your Steam Chaser this week?
Okay, the Patriots are a good steamer right now. 68% of the bets are on the Patriots to cover 7 points. 80% of the money is on them. That is a pretty big differential right there. And that's what I look for when I'm chasing the steam. The Giants, 78% of the bets to cover 7.5 against the Broncos, 83% of the money. Not quite as big of a differential there. I'll tell you the one that I think speaks to me the most. That would be the Green Bay Packers, who are 6.5-point favorites in Arizona. 58% of the bets are coming in on Green Bay, 75% of the money. I would imagine that's a line that's going to move over the course of the week. It may have already started moving. Last I saw, it was 6.5. But that's some steam right there. If you can get in on the Packers at -6.5, I think that's worth going for. I also think that the Atlanta Falcons have 83% of the money already in now at +2.5 against the Niners here. I think the Niners can win that game, but certainly they appear to know something in Vegas about it. And that's really what this is all about. We all like to think we know things about what's going on in the NFL. The people who know bet the most money. And when there's like a 50-50 on the bets and way more money on one of the sides, that's because the wise guys know something. And that usually ends up, not all the time, but it usually ends up paying off in some way. And that is tonight's edition of Chasing the Steam.
I am actually glad you didn't mention the Miami Dolphins in that team, because I would like to share a little bit of audio from Tua Tagovailoa. I don't know if you heard about this postgame, but Tua may be sharing a little too much information. Here's Tua after another Dolphins loss this past Sunday.
I think it starts with the leadership in helping articulate that for the guys, and then what we're expecting out of the guys, right? We're expecting this. Are we getting that? Are we not getting that? We have guys showing up to player-only meetings late. Guys not showing up to player-only meeting. Like, there's a lot that goes into that. Do we have to make this mandatory? Do we not have to make this mandatory? So it's a lot of things of that nature that we got to get cleaned up, and it starts with the little things like that.
How about that? We got Tua calling out players for missing players-only meeting, mandatory meetings. It is not a good look down in Miami.
No,
Ken.
It's bad. It's bad what's happening there. The Dolphins are 1-5 to start the year. The only thing keeping them from being the laughingstock of the AFC right now is the Jets. And I guess maybe the Browns and the Titans, too. Those are all teams that are 1-5. But the Jets still haven't won a game yet. I mean, as long as they're an Ofer, and they could go 0-17 this year. The Jets are that bad. As long as they're an Ofer, then I think that the Dolphins will always have at least them to point to, but yeah, it's bad. And I think that what you heard right there from Tua is actually in some way good for Mike McDaniel, because McDaniel, everybody's saying, is a total putz and he doesn't know what he's doing and he's not a leader of men and he's not this and he's not that, et cetera, et cetera. And they might be right. He may be too much of a goof to really be a head coach of a football team. That's entirely possible. But what Tua's talking about right there is not coaching. He's talking about the leadership on the team in the players' room, guys skipping players-only meetings. Leaders on the team. Now, the captains on the Dolphins are Tua, the center, Aaron Brewer, the fullback, Alec Ingold, which when you're fullback's your captain,
I know Andy Hart likes that. I think that's kind of sad. Jordan Brooks, Bradley Chubb, Zach Seiler? Defensive tackle, I don't know how to say his name. Either way, those are your captains. So I don't know who exactly he's talking about. I don't know if maybe he's talking about Tyreek Hill. I just assume whenever something bad is going on in a team that Tyreek Hill plays for, that he has something to do with it. But I don't know. I mean, I'm just, it's, you know, it's a repeat offender. I just, I'm biased, I guess. But yeah, that's bad news. That's bad news for the Dolphins as a team. Might actually, though, be good news for the coach.
I would like to give you the floor on one Al Horford, because this is something we actually had in our original rundown. Right. But then, of course, the coaches versus media game for the Celtics kind of overtook that one. So, Al Horford, article comes out in The Athletic, and some not-so-pretty shots from Al Horford. This is the reason why, or one of the reasons Horford said he left Boston. I think that where Boston was as a team, even though I called them my home and everything was there for me, they just weren't in a position to offer me the opportunity that I wanted. And then he goes on to say that there were two things there. I think the financial part was a component, but more than that, it was the winning part of it, trying to contend for a championship. And it goes on and on. But essentially, Horford is saying he left the Celtics because he wanted to win more in Golden State. Arcan, react.
Okay. I liked Al Horford as a player. I liked him as a Celtic. This is the second time he's done this now to this team. Al Horford, as much as we all love him, and as much as we all miss him, Al Horford's a bit of a weasel. He's a bit of a weasel. I'm sorry. That's weaselly. What he just said there is very weaselly. They didn't offer me what I wanted. What did you want? A chance to win a championship? You think you're going to get that in Golden State with that ancient team that only won 48 games last year? Like, what are you nuts? Somehow, he decided that, yeah, the Celtics aren't going to win a championship, but the Golden State Warriors, who I think as a team averaged, before Horford even got there, their average age was like 36. Jimmy Butler and Steph Curry, all these guys. Now you're going to have Al Horford that's going to drag the age up to like 37, 38 now. What do you think? You think you're going to win a championship with the Warriors next year, Al? Yeah? That's what you think? I understood it the first time. The first time the Celtics were a dysfunctional mess. Kyrie and the young players and Hayward and all that. And when, you know, Kyrie was gone, like that was a whole different thing. That was a different thing, but it was still pretty weaselly the way he booked out of town, went to Philly, and acted like, yeah, you know, whatever, Celtics, Schmeltics. He goes back to Boston. He's welcomed with open arms. People love him here in Boston. Still now. Some of the tributes to Al Horford after he bailed on the team for the second time were nauseating. Yes, he helped you win a championship. He would have won that championship without Al Horford. I hate to tell you. His best moments came in playoff runs that ended up not getting all the way there. Like when he dunked on Giannis. That was awesome. Oh, that was awesome. That was the best thing he's ever done, ever in his career. That was the best play of Al Horford's career. That was tremendous. I'd watch that over and over and over again. The way he nodded at him after Giannis dunked on him, and then he went down, crossed over, drove the lane, and threw down on Giannis and then elbowed him in the face as he was landing. Amazing. Amazing. Al Horford's a weasel. He's a weasel. That was a weaselly, weaselly move, and that was a weaselly, weaselly quote. It's in The Athletic right now. Nick Friedel, I'm not familiar. But, yeah, the financial part was a component, but more than that, the winning part. Trying to contend for a championship because JT got hurt, and that takes a big toll. So up until then, I was staying in Boston the whole time, but, you know, I just, Tatum got hurt, so what am I supposed to do? I had to bail and go to this old-ass team. And sure, it was really money. I don't think they have money. I don't think he has a better chance to win a championship there than in the East with the Celtics. The East is wide open. The West, there's a bunch of teams ahead of you there. You're not winning anything in the West. You're not going to beat OKC. You're not even going to beat Denver or Houston or any of those other teams ahead of you. Teams with young legs and not, you know, a bunch of aging superstars at the end of their careers. Like, that's, I don't know. I thought that was ridiculous. And I think he's being ridiculous. And, I was going to say I wish him the best in Golden State. I don't wish him the best anymore. You bailed again. This is the second time you've done this, and it was the same reasons why. So good riddance.
It's time to go behind the glass for the producer's point on the Christian Arcan Show. Here's Joe Braverman.
Well, allow me to transition then from a weasel to a winner. And that's all about my point. The winner is Drake May. And I ultimately think that Drake May is going to finish top five in MVP voting. Now, I do sort of agree with Schefter to a point that, you know, I get the love that we're seeing with Drake May about him wanting to be in the MVP discussion, and it's great. It's a great step for the Patriots. I'm not going to say that he is the MVP. I think he should be in the discussion. And I am a firm believer that he's going to continue this run, and the Patriots are going to continue this great run. I said on one of my points last week, 10 wins minimum, get to the playoffs minimum. But my expectation for Drake May, finish this year at least top five in MVP voting. I don't know how many candidates they'll put out there, but as of right now, you would put him maybe top three with the guy like Baker Mayfield and Patrick Mahomes. I think by year's end, he keeps up this run. He's not going to be as great as he is right now, but he's still going to be good enough to finish top five MVP voting.
There you go. That's Joe Braverman. Big hopes, big expectations for Drake May. Top five in the MVP voting this year is what Joe Braverman is saying. All right, we got one more segment to go here, and that would be clickbait. And when in clickbait tonight, we're going to talk about Paul Pierce and the week that he's had. That's coming up next.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's time for clickbait. This is the Christian Arcan Show on WEEI.
Couple of minutes left here. Time for clickbait. And as you know, or maybe you don't, Paul Pierce was in L.A. last week. In traffic. Apparently, there was an accident on the highway in L.A., which created a tremendous traffic backup. And Paul Pierce fell asleep in his car. And after the traffic cleared up, everybody was driving away. Not Paul. Paul was still there, snoozing away. He was arrested, booked on suspicion of DUI. He defended himself on Instagram, showing a picture from the perspective of a person in the car, which I'm not sure that that's what you want to do, Paul, if you're accused of drinking and driving to prove that you were on your phone taking pictures. I guess they were in a standstill traffic. So not exactly the crime of the century here. Either way, tough look to be sleeping on the side of the road. However, Paul says that he was not drinking. He was not impaired at all anyway. What it was that he was old and tired. Those were his words. I was not drunk. I was old and tired, and I fell asleep while driving. Right now, I know that the suspicion of DUI is what he got arrested for. He's challenging that, and there is a blood test coming back. They're waiting on the results of the blood test to see if he was actually drunk or not. And I guess we'll all find out. I have an alternate theory that perhaps it was not he was not drunk, but something else that makes you sleepy. But that's just speculation. I'm not going to speculate on my guy Paul. It's just a theory that I had, a thought that went through my mind. So I went on Instagram. I went on Paul Pierce's Instagram today because I know he has that show, The Truth After Dark. And I wanted to find that the picture of him that he posted of him in traffic and saying, you know, it wasn't me. And instead, I went down this rabbit hole of The Truth After Dark and some of the things he talks about on that show. And I found one clip that just, you know, like Paul Pierce is divorced, but he's not just divorced. He's like really divorced. Like he is a very divorced fellow. Like he's not the most divorced man of all time. You know, I think that's still maybe like Elon Musk or Kanye West. But Paul's pretty divorced. Like you saw him with the strippers when he got fired from ESPN. There's other ones where it's just him smoking a blunt. Like he's just, you know, he's doing his thing. He's a little long in the tooth to be doing some of these things, but he's still doing his things. And on his podcast, he was talking, I'm not sure who the guest was, but he was talking about modern women and the dating scene and what women are looking for. And I just want to play this clip for you here.
The generation that we're in a generation to where girls want the sense of security of a man that can take care of them, but to be able to do what they want. And that's, and what I mean by that is like, damn, I should be able to just like flirt with other men or be out at the club and still do this. But I, you know,
that sounds crazy.
But I still got the security of a man.
Okay, stop it right there. What Paul Pierce is describing, what I think Paul Pierce is describing, is the plight of many guys his age when they get divorced and try and go back out on the dating scene, especially if you're rich and famous like Paul Pierce, which is still very well off. I'm sure he's back out there. He's probably not dating 48-year-olds. He's 48. I would imagine that his like Tinder settings don't go up to 48. Let me just put it that way. I would imagine that his Tinder window probably stops before you get up to his age. Just putting that out there. And that he is surprised that young women who are probably, you know, not half his age, but somewhere around there, are looking for a sugar daddy, looking for financial support. But they also want to have some freedom. They don't want to be restricted in what they can do. They want to be able to go to the club and flirt and have fun and, you know, be with their girl and do all these things. And 48-year-old Paul Pierce is over there flummoxed by all of this because he's an older guy trying to get back out there. I'd imagine that's not an easy thing to do, especially if you're, you know, if your age parameters are at a certain point and cut off at a certain point. Just a thought. I heard that and I was bummed out, you know, because Paul Pierce is my favorite player. I loved Paul Pierce. And I thought that he was just a great player, a great Celtic. His post-playing career, I'll say, has been a little iffy, but that podcast he does with Kevin Garnett is tremendous. I would love for Kevin Garnett to weigh in on what Paul was just talking about, as well as the whole thing that happened in L.A. on the highway. But until that blood test comes back, I'm going to reserve judgment and hope that things get better for Paul out there in the dating scene in L.A.
Boo-boo, go to bed.
I'm rooting for him. And that's all the time we have here tonight. Want to say thanks to Justin Turpin. Want to say thanks to Chris Price. Great job, as always, by Joe Braverman. We're back tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Another full 4-hour show here on the Christian Arcan Show on WEEI. We'll talk to you then at 6 o'clock tomorrow. Everybody, enjoy your evening. Good night now. Oh, that bum.
That's it.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide, plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds, and grow your business fast.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.